T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio at 5:45. We'll have our Bet 365, a triple option feature, and Steve Geller will join us. Want to tell everybody at 6:25, Chris Dotson, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans for Clutch Points, will join us. And tomorrow at 4:35, we'll have on with us Jen Hale from Fox Sports, who is the sideline reporter for Bally Sports and the New Orleans Pelicans. And Jen's out in Oklahoma City covering the Pels and the Thunder, and she'll be on with us tomorrow afternoon at 4:35. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, what's up, Mike and Charlie?
Hey, two things
real quick. Congratulations, or good luck to Coach Schlesinger, UNO coach.
Yeah.
He took a job as assistant. He's been lost in the fray with the Pelicans run there, Mike. But he's stepping down, and he's got a job at Indiana State. And now UNO basketball is looking for a new head coach. I know Tim Duncan, the AD, he played in Memphis with Anthony Hardaway, Penny Hardaway. He's going to find somebody. I know it's going to be successful, put us back on the map there. I was talking to Charlie before y'all put me on there, talking about the disappointment of last night.
Jimmy, let me ask you.
Go ahead.
You think that Randy Livingston's in the mix here?
It's a possibility, man. I know that, obviously, Tim Duncan, the AD at UNO, really likes his Memphis guys. He's really still tightly connected with that. He's an alum. He played there. I wouldn't be surprised if it's somebody tied to Memphis or having a Memphis background. But, hey, if Randy Livingston's got local roots. And, you know, you remember what UNO used to be like in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like that anymore. We got to bring it back. It's a university in a lot of ways that is dying post-Katrina with loss of enrollment. You know, SLU is growing. The North Shore is growing. Gentilly, New Orleans East, and Chalmette got hit by the storm. And UNO never really recovered from that enrollment loss. So, but, hey, look, I wanted to say something about the Pelicans loss. I stayed up for it. I'll say this. Jonas Valanciunas had a great game, Mike and Charlie. I think he had 20-something rebounds or 20 rebounds, Charlie.
Yeah, it was 20.
Look it up.
It was a season-high rebounds for him, and it's a good matchup for him. I mean, if you're looking at – there's one thing that stood out, and Jimmy, you and I were talking about this off the air, with the Jonas versus the OKC bigs, is that Jonas has so much weight on Chet. Like, Chet's a matchup nightmare for teams because it's almost similar to Wemby in an extent. Like, he can step out and shoot a three. Like, he's got a really good stroke. He's a big that can shoot, but he's such a string bean that Jonas can really bully him inside. So one thing that I noticed kind of later on in the game that Coach Daigneault, Mark Daigneault, who's probably going to be the coach of the year for the Oklahoma City Thunder, was doing was every time that Jonas was leaving and Larry Nance would come in, that's when he would put Chet back in. That's what you saw at the end of the game. But when Jonas was in, he started getting – and he got mugged by Jalen Williams. Like, not J-Dub, the forward, the small forward, the three for them, that's a very underrated player. Like the bench big, like the Arkansas big that, I mean, he comes in basically every time Jonas was on the floor, and they would just fight it out. But, Jimmy, Jonas is going to be a huge piece. And kind of later on in the season, like when, especially when Zion was fully healthy and going, you didn't see Jonas picking up as many minutes. Like he would start, but he would only get like 10 minutes and then hit the bench.
This is his time.
This is a huge series for someone like Jonas Valanciunas because OKC, their like kind of fatal flaw, like their Achilles heel, is their rebounding. They're not a good rebounding team. So get Jonas in there and let him fight for every board that he can. And that's what he did in game one. You got to see that every single game this series.
And defensively, this is what you wanted to see from them. This is what you wanted to see from the Pels.
Well, this is the Pels, and you know, you'll listen to Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA go like, oh, the Pelicans don't play defense. Pelicans are like the sixth best defensive team.
Okay, you hold an NBA team to 94 points?
Yeah, but that's what he was saying when he was talking about, oh, yeah, okay, so he's going to smoke them or whatever. I don't take any kind of account into that, because the Pelicans have the wings, and you see it every time that they play the Kings, and you see it every time that they play on teams that kind of rely on three-point shooting. Pelicans have the wings to cause problems for three-point shooters, and that's why it's a decent matchup. We talked earlier, yeah, Mike, that it's a decent matchup for the Pelicans. OKC's strength offensively is their three-point shooting, which is kind of funny to think about, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander himself, their best player, isn't a good three-point shooter. Like, I was telling you this on the phone. I would be fine every position on the floor if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander took a three. I'm not even kidding. Like, he is great at scoring. He scores 30 points a game. I understand that much. But a lot of that is from his drives, and he gets to the line a bunch. He is an athletic guard that can't shoot, which is crazy that he's, like, in the top three for MVP running. I understand the numbers are there, and he led OKC to the one seed.
He's just not a great three-point shooter.
He's not a good three-point shooter at all.
Yeah, hey, look, they're really pumping him up. I don't know if they're trying to sell jerseys. It's going to be either him, Doncic, or Jokic winning the MVP. We got to ride Jonas till the wheels fall off, because with Zion out, like you said, like, he kind of reminds me of Porzingis. He's a big guy who can shoot threes. He's throwing Chet around like a rag doll, Charlie. And
yeah, he was.
Jonas isn't the quickest guy. He's getting older, but he was affecting the game. I don't know why he wasn't in the game at the end. And I'm not bagging on Willie. I see a lot of people on social media say Willie Green needs to be fired. That's ridiculous. Number one, he's the best coach we've ever had in the post-George Shin move down here. I mean, we always got those old retreads like Alvin Gentry and Paul Sasse. Willie Green's been to the playoffs two out of the last 3 years, and he does preach defense. Now, some of the rotations, sometimes questionable. I will say this. He's in Oklahoma. They're practicing for game two. We can win. We match up with these guys. We almost won last night. We could steal game two, bring it back Saturday and Sunday. I know Saturday they're playing here middle of the day, during Jazz Fest, during the NFL draft. We couldn't have a worse time, Mike and Charlie, for you guys, I know, because y'all are going to be watching the draft, or people are going to be drinking at Jazz Fest. We still got to pack it out. And then following that, a week from tonight, game four is on a Monday night. And you know Monday nights are rough because it's Monday. But I'll say this. Willie Green needs to take a ruler, be like, Mike, you remember Schnellenberger and all those, and Chuck Knoll and those hardcore coaches in football. He's got to take a ruler or something and tell every player, especially Ingram, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, everybody, hey, stop selling for threes, CJ included, and drive to the basket. They cannot handle our length. They're the ones shooting threes. They were off last night. We were off a little bit too. We had a clear shot to win it last night. Let Jonas play 35 minutes Wednesday night. Let it ride. But look, the city's got to support them, and we do have to pack out game three and four. Again, it's going to be a tough draw going up against Jazz Fest and a Monday a week from tonight.
Jimmy, I agree with you. And also, to this team's home record.
And that's
barely
why game
above
two.
Above 500. That's why game two, to me, is critical if you want to stay in here in that series. And again, I think OKC wins it. Last night was a tough loss because you had an opportunity there. But this team has played so well on the road, okay? And they haven't played that great at home. When you barely 500, that's not – it should be flip-flop. It really should from a record standpoint. But you are who you are. And I don't think that changes here. That if they don't win game two, man, this could be real quick. Real quick.
So I think I told you off air, Mike, that this series kind of screams 4-2 to me. Like, it's like a six-game series. But to get to that point, you have to take game two. Like,
if you don't win game two, it's not going to six.
Because of the home record, and I texted one of our listeners about this, I would be so much more bullish on this team, even without Zion in this series, if they were better at home. Because if they can steal, you know, game two, then you're set up 1-1 coming back to the Smoothie King Center. You know, you're still not feeling necessarily great about it because they haven't played well at home. So at that point, where do you go from there? Do you get a game at home and you split it game three and four and you come back and it's a 2-2 series, so it's a best of three at that point with two games on the road? That's not the worst thing in the world, but at the same time, you have to get to that point. So taking game two becomes essential for this Pelicans team. And they'll have to be able to bounce back from I guess the heartbreak, you could say, like, it was such a close game, and they really came, you know, basically a couple inches away. That C.J. McCollum shot at the buzzer
was online.
Antonio Daniels said he thought it was in off his, you know, out of his hands. And
you know, when he first shot it, I thought he was going to hit it.
And it wasn't a great possession either. It was ISO ball, and we have people on our text line kind of criticizing the Pelicans' ISO ball because, you know, CJ, like, he lost it, and then he got it back, and he stepped into, like, a three. It wasn't a great look, but at the same time, it was so close to dropping. So you know that you were that close from taking a 1-0 lead and being the only road team to win game one of their first-round series. At the same time, once again, as we mentioned, Mike, there are some matchups that the Pelicans can take advantage of here. Their wings defenders versus OKC's three-point shooting, that is a strength versus strength. But on the interior, the Pelicans, in like rebounding both offensive and defensive versus a bad OKC rebounding squad, I think is something that they have to be pounding every single game of the series.
The other thing too, Charlie, walking down that aisle, okay, being on that court, the pressure is on OKC. It's on them. Okay, you're the number one seed here.
I don't want to call them a paper tiger because
they're no paper tiger.
I don't think they necessarily
are. They don't
are.
Have a lot of experience,
but they're not
in that spot.
They're not a very typical one seed to me, Mike. You know what I mean? Like, even if they get past the Pelicans, which if they go 4-2,
I think they could get knocked out in the second round.
I don't think I would take them to beat either Dallas or LA, the Clippers or the Mavericks. Because both of those squads have much more playoff experience under their belts. This is a squad that maybe a year
important.
Early.
That is important.
Maybe OKC a couple years early, they'll be a real true championship contender soon. But this is a Pelicans team that could provide them some issues in this first round series. Almost a little bit similar back to 2022, that first round matchup against Phoenix. I could see it being like a 6-game series.
When we come back, we'll have our Inside the Draft segment brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in studio. At 5:45, we'll give you our Bet365 triple option feature. This is our Inside the NFL Draft feature brought to you daily by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. Today we're going to be talking about the needs of the teams in the NFC South. We've already talked about the Saints and in particular needs that they're looking at, certainly offensive tackle, and you might have to double dip somewhere in this draft class to get offensive linemen. I think another interior defensive tackle is certainly a strong possibility, and safety for me, it just keeps kind of ringing in my ears. That's a spot that they may have to use one of the earlier picks that they have to select a safety. And I think also wide receiver. When you have a thick class of wide receivers, you're going to maybe have somebody kind of fall a little bit. So I think those are the needs. But, Charlie, I think Atlanta right off the bat, this is real easy. It's going to be they need an edge rusher, and they also need a cover cornerback. And with the 8th pick in the draft, I think that's the spot where the Falcons will probably pick the first defensive player, most likely either being Dallas Turner from Alabama as an edge rusher, Jared Verse from Florida State, or quite possibly even Leatu getting selected also in those early picks. And there are just a few of those guys. So I think they get picked a little higher than maybe some people think.
So I have two thoughts for the Falcons at pick eight. Kind of your point, one of those three edge rushers. And it really is about preference at this point. I know that you have it ordered Dallas Turner, then Jared Verse, and then Leiatu Latu. I think most teams may feel the same, but at the same time, there's also, if teams feel comfortable with Leiatu Latu's situation with his health, if they're comfortable with his health, I mean, Mike, you've said it yourself. He's one of the best, if not the best, technical defensive end.
He's the best technical guy in this class.
So if they're comfortable with his health, once again, he was medically retired at Washington before he went to UCLA and put up big numbers over the last 2 years. They may take him at pick eight. I'm not really sure. I think that he's probably going to go later on in the draft. I don't think he's going to be a top 10 pick because there are the medical concerns there. So if I'm Atlanta, and I'm the Atlanta GM right now. Once again, we talked about their needs as edge rusher and cornerback, and you hit the nail on the head there, Mike. That's their two biggest needs. So at pick eight, you either go with Dallas Turner or Jared Verse. And we've also mentioned the option. It's a sneaky trade down spot, I would say, for some teams, because if you're looking at the top 10 and you see the Jets at pick 10 and you see the Bears at pick 9, I think we both think that Rome Odunze is going to go to the Bears at pick 9. If a team really, really likes Rome as a prospect, they might call up Atlanta and try to trade up to pick 8 to take him before the Bears can at pick 9. Or maybe the similar situation with Brock Bowers at pick 10. You kind of expect them to – you expect Bowers to go at pick 10 to the Jets. Someone could trade into that spot at pick 8. And if you're Atlanta and you're trading down from pick 8, you talked about corner as a need. Quinyon Mitchell, I think, would be a really good fit there. I think I have Quinyon. He's the best man corner in this class, I would imagine.
I think for Quinyon, where he gets the nod, his foot speed. Because that recovery ability as a cover corner, man, he's as good as you'll see in this draft class. It's better than Terrion Arnold, yeah. Even though it's close between the two. I think from a technical standpoint, Arnold's a better technician. But Quinyon is productive. Man, he's like Velcro with a guy.
He shot a draft board.
He can run. I mean, his foot speed and recovery ability is really good. The other part about it is the fact this team likes big corners. So if you would go with the edge rusher, just say they go with Dallas Turner, I think in round two, TJ Tampa, big cover corner from Iowa State.
No, I mean, TJ Tampa, we'll get to the Buccaneers in just a second here. I could see maybe Todd Bowles and the Buccaneers falling in love with someone like TJ Tampa and maybe taking him earlier than people think. But that's besides the point. If you're the Falcons, I'm just saying, at pick eight, I think if you're staying put, you're taking either Dallas Turner or Jared Verse. If you're trading back from that pick, which I think is kind of a sneaky spot to trade back because of the players that I mentioned, if you want to jump the Bears for Rome Odunze, if you want to jump the Jets for Brock Bowers, right? Or if you want to be...
I'd be lying. I tell them, man, I love Brock. We could play kind of a two tight end offense. You know who I really like? Maybe I might pick a young quarterback with Kirk Cousins. I just want somebody to bite.
Yeah, but if someone trades up to pick eight, which I think is possible, and they trade back, like you mentioned, Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, I think that's the spot for a corner. If they don't trade back too far, like if they only trade back a couple picks, maybe one of Verse or Turner will still be there for them. But absolutely, Mike, I agree.
But if 100%. You trade back, to me, get the other Alabama guy. Get Chris Braswell.
In the second round.
In the second round. Yeah. If so, you can do this a couple different ways, just depending on how they handle this. And also, too, how the commissioner is going to handle the tampering situation.
Ooh,
with them
spicy
on how he handles this, or does he wait till after the draft?
Well, we'll see what happens there.
But again, he's gonna I think he's gonna do more than smack him on the wrist.
I hope so. We'll have to find out. So looking now to the Buccaneers, as we mentioned, Mike, your top kind of options for them, I think, you know, offensive line is a possibility. Edge rusher, I think, is a big need for them as well. Cornerback. So kind of similar needs. Edge rusher and corner are probably my top two, and then you're also maybe looking at offensive line, maybe even receiver for Tampa Bay. They have a couple more needs, I would think, off the top of my head. But
yeah, to me, that jumps in my head in round one for them if Nate Wiggins is still available. Nate's got tremendous
cornerback
foot
from Clemson
speed, but, man, he is awfully thin. And he's a guy that's not going to be able to put on a lot of weight. I mean, it's just his build. So if you don't go that part, man, Chop Robinson. The outside linebacker defensive end from Penn State. It's a guy that could give you that, and they've used that interchangeable type guy up front along their defensive line.
Chop is going to go somewhere around there, and we've talked about Chop Robinson's. He doesn't really have the numbers to back it up, but he's got the athleticism. He's a freak athlete. He screams like Ravens to me if he's there at pick 29, or I think that's where the Ravens pick. But at the same time, I could totally see that, Mike, because at that point, if you're looking at the top edge rushers in the class, once again, we talked about Turner, we talked about Latu, we talked about Verse. All three of those guys are going to be gone by the time the Buccaneers are picking. Like, I think the latest they'll go is probably the last one gets picked by pick 19 with the Rams. So what do you do if you're Tampa Bay? Do you still go defensive line? I think it's a possibility. I like Darius Robinson, too, potentially here. I know that he's kind of more defensive tackle, but he's played both on the outside and the inside. So I think he's kind of
he's an interesting fit for what they do. Doesn't quite fit their defensive tackle, but I think he's more of an end in what they would do as a defensive end in that alignment. And man, I'd like to play next to that big dude. They got in the middle. I know one thing. I'm not going to catch
Vita Vea.
Oh, man. Vita's going to make sure that he doesn't get double teamed quite a bit. So I think for them, an edge rusher, but a cover corner, I think, is on top of their list. And look who's their head coach. He's a defensive oriented guy.
Yeah, Todd Bowles is going to fall in love with a cornerback and take him there. I think that Wiggins could potentially be gone by the time they're picking, Mike, to your point. Same thing with maybe Terrion Arnold. Quinyon Mitchell will be long gone at that point. So you might have to reach a little bit if you really fall in love with a corner that you want, and maybe they go for a guy that's like a Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama that they could really fall in love with and take him a little bit earlier than projected. I think he's probably a second-round guy. But when you're the back end of the first, if you think he's a first-round pick.
I only got 22 of those.
Exactly.
Graded. Okay, so from 23 – to like 36 or 37, they basically all the same grade. I mean, it's just a hair between all of those guys. And so, in every draft class has been a little bit different, but it's been anywhere from 20 to 23 first-round pick grades for me throughout the years. And so, what I'm telling you is, picking where they pick at, you got a guy that is a mixed opinion, and also you're coming to a point in the draft where you're picking absolute need. You know kind of what you're looking at to upgrade at that point.
Yeah, so you're looking at the Buccaneers at pick 26. As we mentioned, they have basically similar needs to the Falcons at edge rusher and cornerback. So we're going to wrap it up here, Mike, with the Panthers, or kind of around the NFC South. They don't have a first-round pick. They would have the 101 if they had not traded it to the Chicago Bears in that haul to get Bryce Young. That had not really worked out for them. Team needs for the Panthers is interesting, Mike, because it's basically everything. I mean, losing Brian Burns.
Wide
receiver's huge.
Plural.
Yeah, wide receiver's a big one. And I think a lot of people have projected Georgia's Ladd McConkey to them at pick 33, the first pick of the second round.
But they could go Troy Franklin from Oregon, Keon Coleman from Florida State, Xavier Worthy, who we had spoke about when the caller brought up. I mean, and Ladd certainly is in that mix of those four receivers and kind of how they fall. And I think they all come off the board pretty quickly in round two, but it's going to be preference.
Yeah, it's about what you want, and you're fit for your team as well. You're fit for your offense.
And they don't have a true number one.
They don't. They went and traded for Deontay Johnson in the offseason from Pittsburgh, but Mike, he's like a number two at best.
Yeah.
Like, he was the number two guy with George Pickens in that offense for Pittsburgh, and I think that you still need that wide receiver one for this Carolina Panthers team, but also another need, you get rid of Brian Burns.
Interior offensive line, because I got to protect my quarterback, and an edge rusher.
Yes.
I think, but man, they got a ton of needs and a very impatient owner. God bless him. Man, it's going to be rough to fill those needs all via the draft. But wide receiver for me, interior offensive line, and also an edge rusher. You don't replace a Brian Burns. I mean, there's not many guys that can rush a quarterback like him, Charlie. I'm just telling you. And they're not sitting there in the fourth or fifth and sixth round. That's not normally where you find those type pass rushers. So a lot of needs for the Carolina Panthers. But wide receiver plural, I think, comes into play here in a very deep class of wideouts.
So the question then is, they have pick 33, the first pick of the second round, and then they have pick 39 from New York, who traded as part of the Brian
Burns deal.
And then they have their own third-round pick, which is pick 65, the first pick of the third round. So if you're the Panthers, I think that it would be smart to go two receivers as well. But I would probably go, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this, you go either McConkey or, you know, potentially Franklin if he's there. You also talked about Worthy at pick 33. One of those guys, whichever one you like. And then at pick 39, a guy that you can keep an eye on, Zach Frazier from West Virginia, the center. And then at pick 65 is where you go with your second receiver.
Yeah, depending on how you feel about the center position, because that's a spot there that, man, I think teams, they undervalue the center position. And Zach is, he's a four-time wrestling champion. I mean, he knows how to tie you up. And I mean fast. I mean really quickly. As a guy at playing the interior. So Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach, it depends on who you talk to, who they have rated at that spot. But, man, both those guys are two really good centers. That finishes up for us our Inside the Draft segment, brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. When we come back, we'll have our Bet 365 triple option feature, myself along with Charlie Long and Steve Geller, right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long and Steve Geller for our Bet 365 feature. Steve, you up in the batter's box?
Well, guys, as we all know and we saw today, you know, with the news of Zach Wilson getting dealt, it is hard to find that franchise quarterback. And at the end of all this, I'll go through the 2021 list. Not too great. Well, the Jets, they drafted Zach Wilson, number two overall in 21. Now they've traded him to the Broncos for pennies on the dollar, literally, guys. The Jets just got a six-round selection in this week's NFL draft from the Broncos, who, in addition to Wilson, will get a seventh-round pick. That's number 256 overall. The Jets and Broncos also splitting the $5.5 million that Wilson's due this season, which each team paying $2.75 million. Ouch for the Jets on this one. And that, like I mentioned, that 2021 QB draft class, number one overall, Trevor Lawrence. All right, not so bad. Still with the Jaguars. Zach Wilson, now traded to the Broncos. Trey Lance, now traded to the Cowboys. Justin Fields, traded to the Steelers. And, of course, Mac Jones, traded to the Jaguars. He's with Trevor Lawrence now. So, 2021 QB draft class, not too great.
El Suckle. It's bad. That was a bad one, Charlie.
Guys, I'm going to look at the first round of the NBA playoffs, the first two days of the postseason in the first round. Every single home team won. Every single home team's off to a 1-0 start in the postseason. And the margin of victories was something that really stood out to me. There were only two games that were within double digits by the time the final clocks hit zero. And that was the Knicks, who won by 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Pelicans, who lost by 2 last night to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So you're looking at the other games, 14-point win, 25-point win, 11-point win, 20, 12, 15. Average margin of victory for these home teams in the first 2 days of the NBA playoffs, guys, over 13 points per game. So we'll see if these road teams can get something going. I mean, tonight we're going to have the Magic at the Cavaliers game 2, 76ers at the Knicks, which, as I mentioned, was one of the few actually tight games over the weekend. Game 2 is tonight, and then the Lakers at the Nuggets. And I think a lot of people are keeping an eye on that one, too, because the Nuggets, I think, have won 9 straight against L.A. So Game 2 of these postseason series, we'll see if the road teams can have a little bit more success than they did over the weekend.
Guys, 20 years ago today, American hero Pat Tillman died serving his country. Pat was a guy that was playing in the NFL, gave that career up to serve, you know, in the military, and you know, from all accounts, died friendly far. And, you know, my dad was in the service in World War II and also in Korea. And he said, you know, those incidents do happen. It is part of war. But Pat Tillman was a really good football player in the college ranks and played in the pros and could have continued that, decided that he was going to serve his country. I mean, there is something noble about that, that he didn't have to, but he felt as though he needed to. And so that's why today, I mean, we all thank the people, men and women, that serve our country each and every day. God bless them and their families, that you never know when something like that could happen. But, man, it seems like almost yesterday. But 20 years ago today, Pat Tillman passed away serving this country. And was I got to know him a little bit as he was coming out for the draft, and he was inquisitive on kind of where he was going to go and everything else. A great guy, and so we think about him today. We'll finish it up here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after this commercial break. We're finishing up here in our number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long in studio. Coming your way in just 3 days is the NFL draft. So Saints fans, hey, you don't want to miss this. Thursday from 4 to 6, Deuce McAllister, Mike Hoss, they'll be at the Saints facility, and they'll be able to interview Dennis Allen, Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis, all the Saints brass, including the first interview with Clint Kubiak, Saints offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator Joe Woods, Darren Rizzi, special teams coach, assistant head coach, also assistant GM and vice president of college personnel. He's the guy. Jeff Ireland, director of pro personnel from on the Bayou in Thibodeau, Michael Parrington, and a whole lot more. Hey, so keep your dial tuned into the Big 870 from 4 to 6 Thursday as Deuce and Hoss at the Saints camp interviewing all the Saints brass right before the first round. And then from 6 until, what, 11 o'clock, Steve?
Yes, sir.
You and I started off until Deuce and Hoss get there, and we'll be at Las Cruces Tex-Mex in Metairie. So come on by and visit us. And if you can't, hey, keep your dial tuned into the Big 870 WWL. And free on the Odyssey app, and we'll be giving you all those picks in round one that Thursday. And then Friday, we'll be at Hooters in Metairie. And so we're cranking that off. It'll be two rounds there, but the Saints don't have a third-round pick currently. That's how you would say it, Steve. Yeah, currently, they don't have a third-round pick.
We know they've been maneuvering in the past to get
and
back
I
in there.
I would want to get me a third-round pick
gonna
in this
I was going to say, this
draft.
Year for sure, right.
Because I think if you can get you a top 100 pick, man, I got to do it. And I think they've been maybe a little bit too frivolous with some of these picks, to be honest with you. You got to build your team through the draft. You can help in free agency, but you got to build through the draft. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.